Hey, what's up? I'm Vanessa.
I'm Mary.
I'm Gillian.
I'm Rivka, and this is the very latest episode of the Fufu and Tips podcast.
Your go-to place for relatable content for the African diaspora down under.
The blacker the podcast, the sweeter the bands.
It was a...
Oh my goodness.
A US domestic... ticket.
Oh my god. Okay, let's go back. But the way you're cackling is funny. Anyway, you're a citizen now, so be free. Oh my gosh. But you're not the first.
I didn't know.
What do you mean?
I didn't know that the ticket was fraud.
How?
Because somebody bought it for me.
Okay.
And somebody got the ticket for me because then in Ghana it was hard to even to get a ticket.
Ticket, of course.
So I pay big money and that guy got the ticket for me.
As you're counting your money.
As my, yeah.
Oh my gosh. All right, let's start. So I will just talk about what we're doing. So Straight From The Archives is about... migration stories for people close to us.
Mm.
Today, you're with my daddy, Mr. Do you want to say your name?
Nkoku Osejima.
Yay! So we're just going to talk a little bit about how we came here. Why did you choose this country? You know, how life was when you came. But just then he was just talking to me about how he actually came here on what ticket. So that's what you got at the beginning. But can you tell us how long you've been in Australia for? Since when, approximately?
Since 1990.
1990? 80. Oh, I was going to say, I don't think that. Okay, 1980.
80, yeah. Oh, June 8, 1980.
Oh, June 8, 1980. That's the day you arrived in Australia.
Yes, the day I arrived in Australia, yes.
But before that, mm-hmm. I know that you've traveled a bit.
Yes.
You've gone Germany,
mm-hmm.
Belgium,
mm-hmm.
Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously... Can you tell us a bit about how you grew up and then why you decided to go to all those different countries?
I was born in Ghana,
mm-hmm.
1952.
Yeah.
I finished school.
Yeah.
Around 70, 69, 70.
Mm-hmm.
And I started my own little bit business, like a shoemaker.
I remember this, yes, that's right.
And back then, in Ghana, when you are at school,
mm-hmm.
and if you don't want to continue, like going to high school,
mm-hmm.
or going to uni, or, you know, going to advanced education, what you have to do is start from year 7, you'll be going to, we call it polytechnic, like a technical school.
Oh, to learn a trade or something.
To learn a trade, gotcha. Yeah. So I started learning shoemaking there, back then. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
So I learned shoemaking trade in school.
Okay.
So when I finish, that's year 10.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I didn't like to do the shoemaking. So I went back to learn spray painting, car body mechanic.
Wow, okay. Alright, so this is why you're so good with your hands.
So I learned it for also 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And that was from 70, 72, 73.
So you're about 20 then.
Yeah.
Mm.
That time I was about 21, 22. Yeah.
Yeah.
And from then I work a bit.
Mm.
But then when I finished the spring painter, it was hard for me to get... like a workshop. a workshop to work.
To work in. Mm.
So I worked with the, that time they call them Soshe Motors in Ghana. So
that's a...
That's a CFAO.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
CFAO Motors.
Okay.
I worked, that was 74, 75. I worked with them for about 2-3 months.
Mm.
And the pay wasn't good. The pay was, then it was okay. It was okay.
You could maintain.
I earned about, that time I earned about, of roughly then it was about 3 CDs.
Okay, doesn't sound like much.
Three CDs a month. CDs a month.
Jeez.
3 CDs a month. By then, Ghana CD and US dollar was almost the same.
Mm.
So like, let's say I earned about $3 a month. But it was enough.
Okay.
It was enough to live on. Because you can spend the whole day, you can spend about 10 cents.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You can
even when you eat on the
street.
Yeah.
You can eat 5 cents, 2 pesos.
Oh, yes. Okay.
5 cents, 2 cents. We call it peswa.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 pence.
Wow.
You can eat 1 pence, 2 pence. You know?
Okay.
So it was good.
Maintained.
Good. Yeah,
maintain.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all right then.
But then I have the something like I always want not high life, but I always aim high.
Mm-hmm.
I aim high to get better things.
Yeah.
To do better things.
Yeah.
So that money wasn't to me. It wasn't money to me.
Yeah.
I was searching for a job or a business which I can earn more money.
Mm-hmm.
Because that time, my daddy has passed away already.
And just to ask as well, so how many siblings do you have?
I have 5.
Okay. Yeah.
4 girls and then one boy.
And
we are 6.
Mm-hmm.
2 boys and 4 girls.
Yeah. From the same mom and dad.
From the same, yeah.
Yeah, mom and dad.
But I was last but one.
Mm.
So we have 4 girls in front of us.
Yeah.
And 2 boys.
2 boys. Yeah.
So really, life wasn't easy,
no.
But, you know, I was a little bit street smart,
mm-hmm.
So I do all things to make my own money.
Yeah.
Like, I wave broom.
You wave?
Broom.
Yeah,
I can. Yeah.
Oh, you can weave the broom?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We wave broom.
Yeah.
We wave doormat.
So this is what you and your siblings did together?
Yeah, this is my brother.
Oh, you and your brother. Okay.
Yes, we two
yeah.
Amigos. two guys do together.
Yeah.
Yes, we two.
Mm.
Nobody.
Mm.
My brother can do, and we do then the photo album.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we
okay.
do photo albums.
Oh.
It was, that time Ghana was a little bit hard to get all this, so... we do photo albums, we do doormats, we wave doormats, we wave brooms, and in fact, we were doing better for ourselves.
Ah, okay.
And at the same time, you can go to train station and help people to carry their luggages and get the money.
Wow, you guys are hustlers, man. Oh my goodness.
So, I mean... I learned that early age that you have to work hard and try to save money, invest, invest what you have. So, and I do shoe shine. I polish people shoes on the train station or in the street.
Wow.
And I go to school. So that time when I was in school, In Ghana, you have to pay school fees.
Yeah.
I pay my own school fees.
Damn.
Me, my brother and I have paid, I have to pay my brother's school fees.
Aww.
And I have to pay my school fees. Sometimes you have to buy food in the house because my dad was not there.
Yeah.
He passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And mom was very hard-working woman.
Definitely.
But, in fact, it wasn't enough for... And really, my mom, we sympathized our mom too much. We didn't want to get any money from my mom. We want to help. So we do everything to help. So I, at school, I wasn't the brightest boy, but I was okay. I was okay. Like, I didn't have time to learn.
Because you were hustling, you were trying to make money.
I didn't have time to learn. But at the same time, if I set my mind on the subject we are doing or the exams we are going to do, I won't be last.
Yeah.
I'm not last. I'm not last. But I could have been better.
Yeah.
But I didn't have time.
No time.
Because I thought education is good, but
it's not serving you right now.
Yeah, I need money to survive.
Yeah, that's fair.
So,
when did you and your brother decide that Ghana, the life there, you wanted more for yourself? So when did you guys decide, okay, let's see what we can do, where can we go? And how did that come about?
Well, it came about a friend of mine called George. And George's father was a cocoa receiver.
Okay.
Those who buy agency that who buy cocoa, Ghana.
Yeah, put in their lint chocolate and all that kind of stuff.
So that guy has money.
Mm.
So this guy, George, went through good education. And when he finished Form 5, what is Form 5? Year 12.
Mm.
When he finished year 12, he went to Germany.
Okay.
He went for a visit.
Oh, okay.
Just a visit, but he decided not to come again.
Okay.
So he came back after 5 years.
Mm.
And when he came back, he said, oh, but when he came back, he brought some goods, like a car and this.
Yeah.
But when he came back, daddy has passed away. That time I was making shoes, but I was okay. I mean, I have money to do whatever. So when he came, I sponsored him to take the car from the port, to pay for their hotels.
Hey,
for about 3 months I spent for them.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
But, is it because his daddy's money wasn't reaching him or something?
No. He didn't have money.
Oh.
When he came
back. He didn't have money. Okay.
He didn't have money, but the dad has passed away.
Oh.
You know, so he didn't have money. So I have to help him to just get everything together. But anyway, whatever I spend on him, when he sold his car, he gave me the money back.
Okay.
And the wife, he came with the wife.
Okay.
And the wife said, oh, you are a good guy if you want to come with us to Germany. And I said, then why not? boy like me. I mean, how can I go to... And back then, in the 70s, to travel to overseas, it wasn't like easy.
No, I can't imagine.
They won't let you go.
Yeah.
And I was very skinny and young. And really, I didn't have, I have the money, but they think those who have higher education have to travel overseas. But I was like well-educated person.
Yeah.
You know?
You're like wise, street smart.
Yes, yeah, street smart. I can talk. I can write. Yeah. I taught to myself how to read and write properly. Because I always question myself that, is somebody going to read my letter for me? Suppose I get married and my wife is writing to me. Who is going to...
He's going to read it. Read it. Oh, my gosh.
Should I give it to somebody? No, yeah, I won't do that. So whatever it takes for me to read, I compose myself to learn how to read properly. So then I can read, I can write properly.
Very good.
Then, you went to Germany.
Yeah.
1975. Okay. We arrived in Germany 9th November. Mm-hmm. November 75.
Yeah. And what did you think of the place? Did you think?
Oh, that this time, is somewhere you could live that time for? To me, as a bush boy, it was awesome.
Yeah.
So lovely. I mean, you can have friends, you can have girls around. Everything is around.
Yeah, we know the girls for sure.
But I mean, fortunately for me, I didn't drink and I didn't smoke.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't into drugs or anything. No. Not me.
You just went to disco, but that's about it.
Yeah. I love music.
Yeah.
I love dancing.
Yeah.
But not, alcohol or
drugs
or ciggies or no, nothing like that. I like my girls.
Trust me, we know, darling, we know. So why did you go back? Like, what did you do when you were in Germany?
I was in Germany, I work.
So you're over to work there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was in Germany for first time. I spent 1.5 years and I came back to Ghana.
Yeah.
The following year. Not even 1.5 years, almost 1 year.
Okay.
I came back, that's 75, 76.
Yeah.
I came back around September? Around September. August, September, yeah. I came back 75, September.
Okay.
76, September.
Yeah.
And when I came, the Rollins. Staged a coup. And that coup also set Ghanaians back. Which whatever you are doing, you can do. But I started trading from London to Ghana.
Oh, okay.
Buying shoes. Selling shoes.
Right, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
I did it 76, 77. Mm-hmm. The coup was very intense.
Yeah.
I mean, everything was very, like, even if you wear good shoe, they can beat you to death because you have dressed nicely. It was like barbaric period time in Ghana. And I went back to Germany around 78. Because 78, I had a bit of money, so I went back to Germany. I started business, buying cars to Ghana.
Hey, wow, okay.
And selling them.
Okay.
I mean, that time things were so intense that even when they find, sometimes when they find $50 in you, they can beat you to death. $50.
But what was the whole purpose of the coup? What's he trying to prove?
He wants to prove that he was fanatic to Castro.
Oh, yeah. Cuba.
He wants everybody to be poor. Wow. He think that the socialist ideology so that everybody can be the same. Which, that's the idea. But Ghana was not brought up
like
in that way.
Yep,
they have rich and poor, and they have those who can make it, those who can make it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was hard.
Yeah.
So I went to Germany. Really, I didn't want to live outside Ghana because that time I know that Ghana is the best place to live.
Mm.
Yeah. When I went to Germany, I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy at all. I was happy about what the material thing.
Yes.
But
yes,
the inner happiness wasn't there.
Wow.
Because even then, the life quality in Ghana was enormous.
Yeah.
It was really nice.
Yeah. Even with the three cities you were earning.
Yeah. Like even the three cities.
Yeah.
I feel like Johnny Go Lucky. Yeah.
I see. Okay.
And so when I went to Germany, I was trading a bit, and really things wasn't. Because there was a time, even if you bring a car to Ghana, they will seize the car.
Oh.
They will get it from you. Just like that.
Mm.
I mean, not one time happened to me, not two times, but three times happened to me.
That's a lot of money gone.
Yes. Yeah. So I stopped. I was thinking, then what can we do?
Yeah.
So I came back to Ghana. Mm. I wasn't happy in Germany. Mm. I wasn't happy. Really, I wasn't happy. Not just my soul and my being wasn't there.
Mm.
I was, because first I couldn't speak the language.
Of course, yeah.
And the weather was too cold.
I knew you were gonna say that. Yeah.
And the people are not friendly like Ghana. Yeah. When I walk in my street, I can greet about 10, 20 people before I get to where I'm going. So really, it wasn't a life really I want to live, because I wasn't brought up in that way.
In that way, okay.
Anyway,
so you went.
I came to Ghana. No. I said, look, I want to go to Ghana. So I came to Ghana.
Yeah.
And that was the worst period of time in Ghana. That was 78, 79. Was, look, worse. Killing people, looting people. I mean, if you can have a slip of tongue,
and then people will get on you and bash you and kill you
just like that. So really, when I wasn't happy, and I said, okay, I'll try Switzerland.
Okay.
So I went back to Switzerland. But when I went to Germany, I was so inquisitive. Try to find how can you move around the area.
Like in Europe.
Yes. So, I mean, I have some guys which we move around. So I was able to find a way to move from Germany to Switzerland to France to Belgium, you know. That time, it wasn't like there wasn't borders. There was strictly in their borders.
Yeah.
Very, very strict borders.
Mm.
But we have like a farm way, bush way.
They know the back streets
of the borders. So we can drive from Germany to France through Saarbrücken, through south, you can enter Belgium, then we can go to
Luxembourg. Yeah, okay.
And then we go to France.
Okay,
the same as when you want to go to Switzerland, you can go through Cologne, back of Cologne, then you go through, you enter to Zurich. So I was able to explore. There was not a GPS, but my head and my mind was very GPS.
GPS.
You know, when my eye catches a sign or a street, it register my mind forever. You know, I would never. So, I mean, the movement in Europe was very good, easy for me. I drive and I started driving, you know, so I was very...
You could make your way around.
Yeah, make your way around and make money. And But really, that's not the life I wanted to lead.
Yeah.
The life I wanted to lead was to set up my business, to get my... people around me to do better.
Yeah.
And I have a way of doing better.
Yeah.
And in Swiss, IT, I thought, oh, Ghana is okay. So I went back to Ghana, 1980. And when I went back to Ghana,
it's
the same old thing. And when I had a friend in Swiss called Robert. He was a very smart guy, very, very smart.
Yeah.
And he said to me...
He's Ghanaian?
Yeah. Robert was a Ghanaian.
Yeah.
He said to me, can we travel to... No, we were in Zurich. And we are passing by Australia Embassy.
Okay.
And he said, Australia Embassy. And he said, can we go to Australia? And I said, what? And I said to him, what? What? Australia?
Had you heard anything about Australia?
No. I heard that Australia they eat what they can and can what they can't.
Oh, they eat what they can and count what can't. They can't. Okay, yeah. Interesting.
That was the term when I was school. I heard that they have plenty of food. They have plenty of animals. They have plenty of corn beef and
corn beef. Wow.
You know,
okay.
Canned beef.
Corn beef. Yeah.
They have plenty of meat. That's what I know about Australia.
Wow. Okay.
Really, even I thought Australians didn't speak English.
You didn't know anything about us.
Nothing about Australia.
Yeah.
So when we were passing by, and my friend said, we can go to Australia. And I said, what? What is Australia? He said, another continent. And I said, okay.
Well, that didn't take much convincing.
Yes, let's try.
Wow, okay.
So you went to...
Inside the embassy?
Yes. You went there.
Okay.
And he said, what can you do for you? I said, you want to visit Australia?
Yeah.
They said, no problem. Your passport, your ticket, money.
Money, okay.
No problem. You have the money.
Oh.
So you went back, you brought the tickets. But when I got the tickets, I said, no, this journey is far away from everywhere.
It's far.
So I need my wife.
Yeah.
I won't go without my wife.
Yeah.
So I'm going to Ghana
and
pick my wife so that we can go.
So where did you guys transfer through? When you went back to Ghana, you got mum, and then you transited. How did you come?
We went to London.
Okay.
We went to Her auntie,
uncle.
Sintim.
Oh, yeah. Wait. Yeah.
Not this Sintim. Sintim, the elder.
There's
yeah.
an uncle.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uncle, there was uncle there.
Oh,
so we went to London for about 2 weeks.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's
a long time. Yeah. That's and cute. The uncle convinced us, oh, we can live in London. I say, here, yeah, London. I will live in Ghana.
You literally are me. Because when I got to London, I was like, I don't like this place.
Yes.
And
I said, no, here. I can't live here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's good. And I said, no.
It's
no,
same
no.
cold weather, same frowning faces.
Same squeezing yourself in somebody's veranda. And I said, no. For me, I don't like such a life in my life.
Yeah.
Because life is meant to be enjoyable.
Yes.
So I can't sleep or I can't live in a place like living a... Squatter.
Oh yeah, you're like a squatter. Yeah. Like you live.
You live in a small confined.
Yeah.
I said no. I won't. If I go to Australia, my determination was coming here. If I don't find a better life here, I'll go back to Ghana. Ghana.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really.
So you were talking before when we started, you said when you bought the ticket, you didn't know it was a fraudulent ticket.
Yes.
So you got to London and then you spent your 2 weeks there, then you got on the plane, you somehow still made it to Australia.
Yes.
When you got to the border then, did they say anything or the
They didn't know. They even know those before...
Yeah.
Before the airline can process to get their money, it takes months.
Oh, okay.
And they didn't just... When they see, London, Sydney, if it's paper, they don't care.
And was it a Ghanaian you bought the ticket off, or was it another?
Yeah. I bought it from a Ghanaian.
Okay, in Zurich or in Ghana?
No, in Ghana. Okay. Because that time I was in Ghana.
Yeah.
When I had my ticket coming here, but I have to buy ticket. For my wife.
That makes sense.
Then the ticket, you have to put my ticket, which I bought it from Swiss, aside, and so that we can have the same ticket, the same itinerary, so that people will know that
we are together. Yeah, gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, so okay. I put my ticket aside. When I came to Ghana, I bought another ticket. I have the money. And when we came here, when we were coming here, we had about £5,000 with us.
Whoa! Okay. Yeah.
We have money.
Spenders.
Yes.
Okay.
We have money. I had money.
Yes.
I mean, I work hard. I know how to get money.
It's true.
Me
too.
And so when I went to Ghana, like we went to London. I didn't like London. They convinced me to stay in London. I said, no.
Yeah.
We. And one story. When we were coming, the previous time, when I came to London for shoes, I left my bag with my passport and money in the conveyor.
Oh, when you're going through airport security.
Airport security. I left my bag.
Oh, jeez.
But when I went to the plane, I remember that I forgot my bag in the conveyor. So when I was coming back, the security met me on the road and gave it to me.
Oh, okay.
And when we were coming here, I was telling your mom, look, last time,
I left it.
And the same time, we left our bag. When we were going to Qantas plane, when you got into the plane, and I asked your mom, where's our bag? Oh, I left the bag there again.
Oh, my gosh. But did it have your passport in it?
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
The passport, our money, everything in it.
Oh my gosh.
And the guy said, oh, you go, they will send it. I said, no, we won't go. Because when we arrive in Australia, How can we? We don't have passport. We don't have anything. I said to your mom, go and stand the door, block the door, whereas I'm going.
And just run. You ran through the terminal. Yeah.
So, and they took the passport. They sent it to Nigeria, this thing.
Embassy? Or
no,
what?
No, airline. Oh. I was going to Nigeria.
Oh my gosh. Are you joking?
Yes.
So the people at airport security said,
this black guy. Yeah, I forgot that.
They're probably going to Nigeria.
Oh, yeah, that time the Nigeria airline was going. So they thought Nigerian guy.
Okay, that makes a little bit more sense. Okay. Yeah.
So I ran. And as soon as I said, they have sent your passport to Nigeria, I said, message them, I'm not going to Nigeria. I'm going to Australia. I'm an Australian guy.
Oh my goodness.
And so they ran, and so we delayed the plane. For almost half an hour.
No way!
Yes!
I can't imagine mom standing there too.
Yes!
Said, the way she is.
I didn't write this out.
Sorry.
And I'm saying, stand there. Don't move.
Yeah.
Don't block this thing. Said, yeah, I will do. So your mom stood at the gate.
Wow.
Oh, lady, we have to go. My husband
told me.
Is coming.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
You can wait. When I got to the place, they all clapped for me. Say, this is a tough guy.
Oh my gosh, I hope they upgraded you to first class. My goodness.
So I mean, it was, very tough, but we were able to come. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So we arrived here.
Yeah.
And that time, when we arrived, they told us our visa wasn't proper.
Oh gosh.
And I said, look, I'm not a embassy. I'm not a travel agent. Those who give it to me.
To me, that's all I know.
That's all I know.
Yeah.
So I can. Okay. Do you have money? I say, I'm fucking loaded.
I'm with your 5,000 pounds.
Yeah. Said, that time, I mean, how many people traveled 5,000 pounds?
Even me at this big age, I'm not traveling with 5,000 pounds.
And then they said, you have money.
Money.
Then you can book a hotel for you. I say, yeah. So they got us hotel.
Gosh, yeah.
That's a Camperdown Travel Lodge.
Oh, Travel Lodge.
Yes.
So you guys stayed there just to get your papers in order or just to,
To far away.
To far away.
Our papers is never, it can never be in order because
we didn't have
proper
documents. Yeah,
so all that we have to do to go to the immigration that time, Ghana has a problem. You say, look, we don't want to go to Ghana anymore. Ghana has a problem. Moreover, one of my consignment coming from London to Ghana, they seize it. So I had all the documents with me.
So you could prove that Ghana had.
So really, they granted us permission to enter, and from there we work our way out. We went to Amnesty International. They help us to secure our staying permit here. From there you get it.
Yeah. Excellent. So when you came here, did you find any Ghanaians here? How did you make your way? Because obviously you started here. Then how did you start working and making money?
When we came here, really, first, I know I learned Boilermaker.
That sounds so familiar, but I actually don't know. Is it steel
fabrication?
Yeah.
I learned it in Germany.
Mm.
And also I know how to make shoes.
Yes, yeah.
So I had my first job as a factory worker, make socks.
Okay. Bonds or no?
No,
okay.
Colitex.
Oh, Colitex.
Yeah.
I think they're still around, I think.
Oh, no. No. Oh. They were in Leichhardt.
Leichhardt,
West Street.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Colitex, yeah.
Okay.
I worked there for about 2-3 months.
Mm.
The money wasn't great, but it helped me to set my feet, to have somewhere to stay, to pay my rent.
Mm.
I was lucky that I met a real estate guy whom I tell my story.
Okay.
And he said, "Oh, you are a great guy.
Aww, that's so nice.
I'll give you a place to stay." I said, "Look, we are staying in this hotel.
Yeah.
I paid this.
Camperdown.
From Camperdown, we stayed there for about 2 days.
We moved
to William Street. There was a hotel, William Street.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we moved to William Street, King's Cross.
Oh, that one, above the convenience store.
We moved there.
Yeah.
And this guy said, "Oh, yeah, I'll give you some place to live."
Mm.
So he gave us a flat in
King's Cross.
Where Ward Avenue,
27
Ward Avenue.
Yeah.
So you live there for about 3 months, 2 months.
Mm.
And I found that place was very inconvenient, because people are smoking, drinking, all this.
King's Cross was very much like that in the 80s as well.
And I approached the guy, said, "Look, where we are living now, I don't know anywhere.
Yeah.
But if you can move away a bit, it's okay. Go to Elizabeth Bay."
Oh, ooh, fancy.
So we went to Lisbeth Bay, Lisbeth Bay Road.
Okay.
Yeah, down near the river.
Yeah.
There we were there for about a year plus.
Nice.
And when your mom got pregnant, when he was going to get, I said, "No, don't want." I was able to go around. I said, "No, we are not going to live around here.
Why?
We have to go away.
Further out,
because it's nicer."
Yeah.
Then I can see that it's quieter, nicer.
Like family life.
Family orientation,
I
said, that's
where you like. And
so,
I think that you feel more at home there. Like it's more similar to Ghana.
More open and people there are friendly.
Not
go-go people, no. People there are friendly.
Yeah.
Things are, you can talk to people. Mm. I mean, people can listen to you.
Yeah.
You know, and lucky, we went to Rockdale.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Rockdale.
The Rockdale.
Yeah.
And Hegarty Street.
Yeah.
And we had a flat, 2-bedroom there.
Mm.
And lucky, we met a Yugoslavian guy.
Okay.
He and the wife.
Mm.
And they took us as their children.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And when we had James,
James
was so adorable to them.
And his little black African baby.
And James was small Tarzan, and the guy Rooney, Rudy.
Yeah.
And he was a big Tarzan.
Oh, like he small Tarzan and big Tarzan. That's cute. So Rooney was his son or what?
Rooney was the father.
The
man was Rudy.
Oh, okay.
Rudy, yeah.
Okay.
And Lalinka. Lalinka.
So they took you in and you felt like...
We were neighbors.
Yeah.
We had the same floor.
Nice.
But they came into our life like... The lady cook for us.
Really?
They nurtured James.
That's what it's called.
Huh?
That's
Yeah.
It's come full circle.
Sometimes I forgot.
It's come full circle.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Small Tarzan, and he loved James. When James was growing, he always with this guy. And he was a piano player.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
He's a musician.
Okay.
He does. Yeah, he does work every evening.
Okay.
From about 9.
Like what, at a bar or?
No, hotel.
At the front, the concierge.
Yeah, concierge. He play music entertain people. Nice. He start about maybe 7 and finish about midnight. Okay. Or, yeah, so he always have time in his hand.
So you found your people, but. And that's very beautiful that they took you in, that they were really kind. Because when you migrate, obviously it's not easy. And then you add a child.
Mm-hmm.
So they were very much angels.
That time, there wasn't Ghanese here, no.
Because he was born in 82. So that was at 82 around that time. But I have so many pictures of you guys in like I see... It was probably them actually. Mm-hmm. I saw some white people in the pictures, but there's also like a few Ghanaians, old timers, and people I've never seen before.
Yeah,
So, how did that come about? How did you even find
They had the Ghana Student Association.
Oh.
All these guys were students.
Students, okay. I see.
And that time, Ghana had a special privilege.
For Australia to come to Australia.
Australia give them full scholarship.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
To come. Yeah, full scholarship. Okay. And Australia EDA, educational something. Yeah.
They do still have an equivalent. Yeah, I know a lot of them go.
So they all these guys, except I, my wife, Parkwasi.
Yes, I know.
Andrews.
Yeah,
Parkwasi Andrews. Okay. And who? That time, few. Mm-hmm. About few Ghana are marching. You know, marching. Mm-hmm. You know,
Dechi, marching.
Those who has been Mrs. Gibbons.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But those who were around us, you know, they're all students.
Okay.
Of Akwesi and Sister Vic,
they're all students. Yeah. Okay.
So we were the hustlers. We came here purposely to make money. To make my family here. That's all. I mean, I wasn't come here to learn. I came here to stay.
To make money,
to let my kids grow here because Ghana wasn't good.
Yeah.
Mm.
So also, I wanted to ask as well because. Obviously, I've heard about some stories and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you came, obviously, I know just from history, I think like the White Australia policy was abolished, not like maybe 1979 or 80.
Yes, it wasn't long.
So then how was your experience as being like one of the few black people here? Because even when I was growing up, I was still few, but you were...
One in a million, probably.
One,
anyway, I for one, I don't allow myself for discrimination to get me down.
Yes. Yeah.
No. I know myself. I know what I can do. I know what I'm capable of. So if you want to discriminate me, I don't really care. I mean, what I do care is what I can do to achieve my goals. Nothing else. I mean, if you can't give me a chance,
then I'm
going to
go.
I'll go my way and somebody will give me a chance. Yeah. So I won't stop trying.
Yeah.
And what you will do to me, it won't bring me down. I'm just a stranger. No. I'm not a stranger. I'm capable.
Very.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know it was here, but for me, I didn't notice. It didn't get on me. I remember once your mom was working with the this
ABC.
Before ABC. Salvation Army.
Oh, okay.
Salvation Army. Your mom was very smart, very smart in administration side.
Yes.
Before typing,
yes,
shorthand, she was very good. Because of that, when we came here, the first thing I did is, look, you go to school. You don't go to the factory and work as a factory worker.
Yeah.
Go to school.
Yeah.
So we paid 3,000. $3,000
for
her to go to school for 6 months to get, they say, Australian certificate.
Oh, gosh, okay. Yeah.
So she went to that school, and your mom was working with the, she wasn't trying to find a job. And I said to her, to get to them, to get to know them, to understand the environment in the workplace,
the work,
do some voluntary work. Do some voluntary work, you got to know what they think, what they do. I mean, you know what you are doing, but
you get to know the culture.
The culture and the way they're working.
Mm-hmm.
So she was doing that.
Okay.
And once, she came home and she was crying like a baby.
No.
Why? They are bullying me. Why do you allow yourself for some big girl like you? I was very upset. I wasn't upset
You were upset that it got to her.
And I've been telling you all the time. Your mom is not here. Your dad is not here.
Yeah.
He is not your country.
Yeah.
So if somebody talk to you silly, just if you want, talk the same to the person and leave him alone. Or just ignore it, go your way.
Yeah.
Don't let it get in you. Yeah. But why? I won't live here anymore. And I said, why are you going? We are going to live here. Yes.
This is home now.
We are come to stay.
Yeah.
Either you like it or not.
So as soon as you got to the country, you were like, that's it, we're staying? Or even before you got on the plane, you knew this
No. When I came here, I know... I didn't like it very much.
You didn't love you.
But I know that there will be opportunities.
Yeah, got you. Gotcha. Okay.
Because the city, I've been many places before I came here. Sydney City wasn't great. The trains, everything wasn't great.
It was just very...
very...
underdeveloped or something like that. Yes,
like my home Ghana. You know?
But
I thought, no, there to be a future place to live.
Wow, you had
I mean, it will be a nice place to bring up your children. Kids.
Yeah. You're right.
I mean, if you are living well, you have peace of mind.
So
that was what I adopted in me.
Yeah. So just resuming on where we left. So when you came, you made your way here. But one thing that I've noticed is that you actually helped a lot of other people come here. So how was that like going through the immigration system and getting some family and things like that here?
For that, we went through the proper procedure from immigration, you know? Through education, some through family reunion. That's how we were able
So how was it like then having finally some family around once you had migrated? Because once you came, it was just you and your wife, really. Mm-hmm. There was no other family around. Mm-hmm. So you brought a couple of nephews, cousins, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, being here by yourself sometimes is not fun at all. Because mm-hmm. you feel lonely and especially if you're new from Africa, you can, it's, takes a while to adjust yourself to the system, to make new friends and all this, you know. But God's so good, we were able to bring some family members here, which make life a bit easier.
That's beautiful.
That's how we, I mean, apart from me, whom, when I was, I came here legally, illegal.
That's because the person didn't know.
Yes.
Oh, you didn't know that your ticket wasn't proper.
Yes.
Yeah.
And apart from that, anybody who will come here, we see to it that we go through proper
channels.
Proper channels, yes, to bring them down here. Yeah.
Beautiful. And then what about just in terms of like the comparison? Like what did you miss most about Ghana, really? Once you had migrated, you had settled here, you started your family or continued your family here. What was that longing like to go back to Ghana? Because now you're in between, obviously. So what did you miss most, really?
You know, where you grew up, you will never forget your roots. Because some things are very easy to do in Ghana. For instance, having community, connection. And also, most of all, if you are in position, a lot of people in Ghana or your community need your help. So, yeah. So, my going back or trying to get back to Ghana or trying to live in Ghana as much as I want is I want to give bit back to Ghana because I've spent all my life here. Most of my life I've been working here since. And so I want to go back to Ghana and help especially my family members. Those ones are coming, those whom I can push to come here for the education or whom I can help to have their proper education. To set up something, especially to talk to them, to advise them what to do properly, because the system in Ghana, the government does not have a program that help the youth to go about things. Like here, if you are from year 10, you can go to
trades
But Ghana is not like that. It's there, the system is there, but the government,
you can close it.
The system is there, but the government doesn't enforce it, or the government doesn't help the
youth to access it. They don't promote it.
Or they don't spend money to bring it up, make it standard, so that the youth can learn something, especially trade people. You know? So the little I know, I'll go there, and whatever I'm doing, I will bring some in. Those who want to join, they can come in and learn or work and pay, whatever,
yeah.
You know. So that's why I want to, step out and go back and help. Not just, I don't like here anyway. All my family is here. Mm-hmm. All the grandchildren are here.
Mm-hmm.
But all the same, I feel that I feel like I have to give something back.
You want to invest back in Ghana? In Ghana. Yeah.
Yes. That's so good. That Ghana too can be a place to live.
Yeah.
You know, because if you think about it, everywhere you go, has been a black fellow, you discriminate.
Hmm.
Everywhere. Even in Ghana, you'll be discriminated. You know.
Depending on where you are in Ghana, or what?
Yes, it depends. It depends, but at the same time, you are in Ghana. So, wherever you go and they discriminate you, but yes, they discriminate you. And so, for discrimination, really, I don't think about it. Now, I know myself, I know what I can do.
Hmm.
So, really, I don't care whatever. Any way you treat me, it doesn't really get on me. Because I know myself. I know what I can do. I know whom I am. And because of that, really,
You don't really let it get to you?
No, I don't really let it get to me at all. Because
I think that's one of the advantages of growing up in Ghana, though. I know that you said yes, okay. There's definitely some, you know, cultural groups face discrimination or whatever, but if you're all Ghanaian and you're all black there, your sense of self and identity is much stronger than maybe for me, example, growing up in Australia, being the only black girl in high school and primary school and stuff like that. So I think about it a lot, like how I would handle it if my kids come to me and said, oh, this person, you know, has said something, this person has done something. I'm trying to think of ways to instill, you know, that confidence in them so it doesn't get to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like sometimes it helps because when you're all the same, like your identity is strong because you know you're Ghanaian. You know that you've seen, you know, smart Ghanaians. You know, you've seen, you know, all different types of black people.
Yes.
You know, here it's not so visible, the type of black person. Like, it's getting better now, but definitely, you know, when I was younger, I didn't see any Ghanaians that were like, you know, entrepreneurs or doctors, things like that. Or even just, you know, small business owners apart from, like, I don't know, the salon and stuff like that. So in my head, I'm like, oh. How am I going to handle it? I know how I am going to handle it, which I don't think is healthy because I feel like it will be handled with maybe anger and violence and say, hey, make sure you don't, you know, I don't want that to be the case, but you know, it's very admirable that you can let it roll off your back. But I also think that that's a product of the fact that you were born and raised in Ghana.
That's true.
Yeah.
My advice is don't let discrimination get on you. That's why I always advise you, do well, whatever you do, try to do it well.
Mm-hmm.
Do in the best way you can.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, if you do what you can, you do your best, whatever anybody will say, just brush it off. Don't take it too hard. And because, as I've been saying it, discrimination is everywhere. Mm-hmm. Everywhere you go, especially being a black person, everywhere you go, there's a discrimination. So, always be ready.
Mm.
Always have a patience. Always don't let that get on you. Always try to compose yourself as good as you can.
But I also think that that's because, to be honest, like the stories that you told me, like, you know, you being like a cabbie, I think it's more apparent and in your face, yes, and definitely, yeah, more often than it's ever happened to me.
Yes,
like, even last week, remember that time we were on the phone as well, and that lady was acting crazy.
Yes, yes.
So I feel like because of the fact that you are so, it's happened to you so many times, that you just are like, oh, this is just another day at the office. But for me, because it doesn't, you know, happen, you know, high school, yeah, you know, yeah, just sometime, here and there. Yeah. But apart from that, like, and I won't tell you what happened in high school, but I'll make sure that, you know, people can't say those things to me, given where I am, whether I have to chase you down or whether I have to do something, because it's just me by myself. Like, I'm not going to let you talk any way to me, and people are looking and I can't say anything. So for me, like, I was very strong in that. If somebody said something that I didn't like, but specifically if it was racial, I wouldn't stand for it, because I just had me, myself, like, I didn't have anyone else around me.
Yes.
And especially I didn't want them to do that to somebody else, have the audacity to think that they can say that to somebody else. So we took very different approaches, yes, I think, because I was very, right, yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Your time is a new era.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, whatever, because if I will be hostile to,
yeah, that, to that,
it will be worse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
some people are so very aggressive,
yes,
to get you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
and to compromise you, to let you, you know, do something wrong. I get you. I get you. That makes sense.
You know, he wouldn't. All that they want is to react so that they can get you at the corner.
Yeah.
But hey, I was so God so good. I know it from the beginning.
Yeah.
So I just draw from that situation. I always try to get myself away from trouble.
Yeah.
And God, so since I came here, I haven't got any trouble to the police or to the community or fighting with somebody in the street. No, I will never do it.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, I'm okay. I'm happy. I mean, life here has been good.
Good.
Because all the kids are here, they are all healthy, fine, they all have their position in life, so I'm glad that I came here, and I'm glad that I'm part of the society
here. Well, that's beautiful. Oh my gosh. Well, then to end it, then, I mean, you've already said it all, but I was going to say, to end it, of all the things that you've done and accomplished here, because there's a lot, what are you most proud of by making your journey here and leaving your mom, your dad, everything that you know, to come to a place that's literally the other side of the earth?
The things I'm most proud is the children. I mean, money I have none. But
children, you have plenty.
Yeah, I have plenty, and they are all healthy.
Yeah.
Law-abiding citizens,
mm-hmm,
and they are all doing well to help the country. So my contribution to this country is my people. I didn't buy the whole Australia, but I have people who do it for me.
Amen. Very good.
My children, and I know my grandchildren will buy whatever. I spend my time working hard to look after my children.
Yes.
So I wasn't into business too much, because I didn't know how it will end, but I know that if I can work hard and try to provide for the children, they can be a good people to serve the country, or to work hard and to achieve what I couldn't achieve.
Yes. And that we are doing. And we are thankful. So that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you very much. We hope you enjoyed it. Say bye, Daddy.
Bye to everybody.
Yes.
Love you all.
As you see. Thanks. Bye, guys. As you see.